Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What is up, friendos, and welcome in to the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast of the final week before your big drafts. I want to say the final week before the regular season, but of course we had a game. Today on the episode, we are going to be talking about said game, the series in Japan. We had the Tuesday game already happen. Wednesday is going to be happening in between us recording this. We are going to be looking at the latest news and notes around spring training. And we are going to be looking at, kind of inspired by a thing that MLB was putting together, a interesting or the most interesting player from a fantasy perspective, up or down for each team at each position across baseball. So we got hitters and pitchers. One for each team, taking some of what MLB had done, changed out about half of them, really the interesting players for fantasy, picking one for each of them. So interesting players, the Japan series, and Scott Bogman has barely returned from Florida after I described it on, we actually had Out of Bounds. You were not there for the live stream of Out of Bounds. And I described it to Joe as you were facing a terminal situation, the movie Terminal, where the guy is just stuck at the airport forever because not
that
everybody knows.
That movie did run across my mind.
Yeah, Bogman was supposed to come back on Sunday and storms happened. Bogman's flight got canceled. He got stuck in Florida. He got rerouted. I mean, you spent 36 hours of hell just hoping to get home, and you got home late last night, but you made it, but barely.
Yeah, it was just a real aggravating trip. I've whined about this trip a lot already, so I'll try to keep this a little tighter. But, you know, everything was good. Went to spring training, got to see some good ballparks, some good players, ate some good food, hung out with my buddy. Everything was good. And then Sunday getting out, I was supposed to leave like midday Sunday, and I was going to get home midday to get the cheap Uber home, you know, and all that stuff. And then they canceled, they pushed my flight back 2 times. First, supposed to leave at 11:45, which if you guys know anything about me, that's early for me. So I was supposed to leave at 11:45 because you have to get to the place at least like an hour and a half early, you know, to get, because it's spring break in Tampa I was trying to get out of. So, you know, the security took an hour when I was there on Sunday. It was actually quicker on Monday because they knew everything was so effed up from Sunday that they had the whole line working, you know, like a Walmart with every cashier available. It was crazy. But anyway, they pushed us back twice. So we sat there for 5 hours, the whole plane, and then they canceled it. And then when it's weather, they don't give you a hotel. They don't do anything for you. And they just give me a new flight in the morning. And instead of being direct Tampa to Houston, it was Tampa to Cleveland.
Oh, of all places
Houston.
For you.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, which, by the way, I convinced Juan Thornhill to sign with the Steelers while I was in Cleveland for 45 minutes. But anyway, I, you know, it was just an all day event. 2 days in a row. The first day was getting my flight canceled all day, staying at a rat hole hotel, you know, near the airport and all that stuff. And then the next day was I had to do this stupid connecting flight. They couldn't get me in anything else because so many other flights were canceled and so many people rebooked that I had to go to Cleveland for 2.5 hours and then to Houston for 2.5 hours. And then when we landed in Houston, we sat on the tarmac for 30 minutes because we didn't have a gate available.
And then you paid probably double a Yankees ticket just for to drive home because of spring break.
It was 3 digits for an Uber ride home because it was surge pricing because it was at night on a Monday in Houston. And the best part about this trip was it was nice and cheap, I thought, but not so much. So
what Bogman told me after too was he just stated, because you called me right when, like 20 minutes after you got home, and you're just like, never going to fly to Florida again. Like, I'm never going to Florida unless I'm driving.
I may never leave the house again.
Yeah, you might never go anywhere ever. I suggest not.
The only reason I'm going to opening day is because I already paid for those tickets. So I'm stuck with it.
But Bogman is safe. He did make it. Made it back in close to one piece, and you're kind of getting back into the flow of it. Opening
and finally set up satellite leagues too, by the way, for those of you that have been waiting. So if you've been waiting for that call, I wasn't sure if we're going to do them. I wasn't sure if we're going to have interest. Lots of messages this week. So just check out our Patreon if you're on GroupMe, they're there. So
yeah, we got some champs leagues, some satellite leagues going on, some fun stuff. It's been a crazy couple months for both of us. It really has. Like, we're kind of getting back into the swing of a lot of things. I had a kind of second hiatus with Prospect One, which is coming back this week. Got a couple people hitting me up about that. So that's kicking back in. And I'm kind of in the process of finalizing some stuff I want to do in season, but we want to get back into doing some more maybe live streams for just everybody, maybe also one on the Patreon, and just get ready to kind of book it. I think I'm going to be doing a 4 or 5 hour live stream on opening day. And then I'm going to be cruising out and meeting Bogman in Phoenix because Bogman is flying out here for opening day against the Cubs. And hopefully I'll nudge Justin Steele and just be like, hey, buddy. Coming to the game there, buddy. You want to say hi, buddy? Something like that. But I'm looking to do, unless Justin is like, hey, come down and hang out. I will be doing a 5 hour stream, I believe. And I'm not 100% sure Yahoo or kind of rev back up the Twitch, but hang out, watch the games, talk fantasy. I'm going to do some raffles on some cool autograph stuff. So kind of book that. Make sure you're following us and all. But things are starting to rev up even towards the end. But that's kind of the weirdness of baseball this season. It's like, you know, we're still like a week away, but it doesn't feel like that because we just had an opening game. So we are going to talk about some news and notes, but I think the number one thing to talk about is that opening day game. So we'll do that here in a second. Want to remind everybody, though, the stuff we're talking about when we do Patreon only streams, or we're talking about ranks, we're talking about the P1 ADPs, talking about leagues and stuff like that, over on our Patreon, inthisleague.com. We've been doing it for quite a long time. We would love to have you guys there. Haven't changed on the prices or anything like that. So if you want to support us, be a part of the craziness, be a part of the community as well. The LTs and above get in the GroupMe rooms, which are like Discords. And we've got baseball. And if you want to be a captain, the highest level in the ITL Army, you can have access to everything, access to us and the community. InThisLeague.com. Come and check it out today. InThisLeague.com. So before we talk about the spring training news and notes, let's talk about baseball opening up at 3 a.m. on the West Coast. I kind of went off. We had our first leading off. It's a special, the Japan series. I got to tell you, man, like, I know, like, Joe was like, well, what are you supposed to do? It's like, play the game later. Like, that's what you do. For them to be cool with a 6 a.m. East Coast game to start the season with the Cubs and the Dodgers, and for it to be 3 a.m. on the West, I cannot imagine. You can't push it even 3 more hours, so it's 6 a.m. on the West Coast and 9 a.m. on the East Coast. Like, it's just, we do this like, well, we're going to help make baseball better and this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, all right, great. That's awesome that it was so cool in Japan and everyone was excited. None of us watched it except on that replayed version of the game, because it's like 3 a.m. was crazy. And by the way, the game wasn't super great.
It was a nice pitcher's duel, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about it here in a second. But like, do you disagree when Joe goes like, well, what are you supposed to do? It's like, yeah, make it less convenient for them. You make it later. so we can watch it.
Why are we doing this with regular season games? I mean, have four or five teams go to Japan and have a rotating spring training series.
Actually,
there.
Why don't you start spring training for those guys?
Yeah.
Like, a week, do the very first week of a couple games there and then come on back.
Yes. I mean, I think that would, you get more players. You give more people an opportunity to see major league players, to see prospects as well. Like, have four or five, six, whatever. Have 10 teams.
Hell, go to Bobby, Japan. You can have the whole league.
I mean, whatever. Like, do that for a week there. Spring training.
You can do like four Arizona, four Florida. They all go over. They play tournament. Like a week series for spring training the very first week, and then come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
It's full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Do a goofy tournament. Yes, do that.
I agree. That's exhibition. That is
right.
This game played and felt like an exhibition, but it wasn't. Both pitchers, neither pitcher got to 75 pitches. Shota didn't get to 70. And it's like, that's exhibition style stuff when you don't even push it to 85.
I want them to promote the game. I do, especially worldwide. I think it's a good idea. And it's a good initiative, but I don't know why these games need to count for the regular season. And it screws up everybody's schedule, and your biggest market to watch these games is not available. I mean, who is awake to watch these games live?
Nobody. Yeah. And there's some people that got up. I didn't. I wasn't getting up at 3 a.m.
It was 5 for me. I'd gone to bed like an hour before that. So yeah. Pass. Yeah.
All right. So outside of that bitching, talk about the game here for a second. Imanaga goes 4 innings. Hilarious too, by the way. Every bet is so exhibition-y. 14.5 was the outs that you could bet. That was always going to be an under. He went under strikeouts. He smashed over on the walks. He didn't give up any earned runs. He technically didn't give up a hit. I want to throw that out there. He went for no hits, but he walked four. He struck out 2, didn't give up a bunch of hard hit stuff. Fastball splitter was okay. Command was just kind of wonking a little bit. He was throwing some sweeper. That versus Yamamoto, who gave up 3 hits, he went 5. He was able to record the win, struck out 4, walked 1. Really, really good sequencing combination of that fastball and splitter. That was really on. He looked solid. Also, from a velo standpoint, if people are wondering, let me pull this up here. Fastball, oh man, they changed it. This just confuses me a little bit. 98 was the high for Yamamoto. He sat 96.5. By the way, that was almost a mile and a half uptick year over year. We'll see with Japan. You know, there, I saw some guys clamoring about the ball and stuff like that already. You know, maybe we know Japanese players coming over have some upticks in velo and spin numbers, and maybe there was something there because there's some significant increases in velo for Yamamoto. It's 2 miles an hour on the splitter, 1.5 on the fastball, 1.5 on the sinker, and when
more
we go
spin
over,
too. Yeah.
Let's take a look here.
Every pitch, more spin. I'm looking at it. And
year
almost
over
every
year.
Pitch, more break as well.
So. I mean, that it kind of tells you a thing. Now, Imanaga, and now what I think this is funny, he also had more spin. He had about a mile increase on his fastball, not much on his splitter, but his sweeper and curve, they went down more. And to me, that kind of speaks to grip. That speaks a little bit better grip and being able to float that thing. Also with spin numbers that were up. So, you know, I think execution is the thing to point out with the pitchers here. Execution was solid. Like, yes, Imanaga got some walk issues, but he gave up no hits. He didn't go super deep into the game. Yamamoto, I thought the sequencing and the fastball splitter looked good after rewatching. I thought that was all in play. And from the reliever standpoint, maybe I'm overplaying this, Boggs. Tanner Scott absolutely closed that sucker down. And
isn't that what it was?
Yeah. Do we really think, are they going to get cute and like put Yates in some situation? I don't know, man. Like, I think Tanner Scott might just be on the road to closing 35 this season. Like, now maybe he'll lose some spots and maybe there'll be some fireman and leverage and whatever, but felt good right out the gates. He just closed that sucker down.
Dude, how many games? What is the over under on Dodgers wins this year?
What was it going into? 103.5 was right. Posted in the leading off today.
So if they're gonna win somewhere between 105 and 95 games, I mean, he's gonna have so many opportunities. So he could get 30 and Yates could get 15. So who knows?
Yeah, that's a good point. That, I mean, and also Trinan, there was an interesting thing. I don't know who posted it, so apologies. I'm going to try to take it, but someone posted about that, like, a bunch of Dodger players were interviewed about, like, who has the nastiest stuff. And, like, Roki wasn't the guy. They actually said Trinan. They said Trinan was, like, the crazy. They did say that Roki's splitter got, like, a lot of attention. But, you know, not that really talked about, and I actually didn't go in the comment section just because, you know, I want to keep my sanity. But I don't know if you saw this at all. Because I think you were leaving this day, and I know you were watching some of it, Fantasy Fest, Fantasy Pros Fantasy Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the segment with Lance Brozdowski when I had him on?
Yeah, I did, but I was in the airport, so I didn't catch everything.
So that one was interesting, because that was right when Joe left. I took over hosting, because I kind of like, that was one I was like, I don't know what I want to do with Lance. I don't know where I want to go. And I started out the gates with Roki, and Lance just, without hesitation, was like, yeah, you know, it's crazy. It's like, what we found out is his fastball's not good. He's like, his fastball's not good. That splitter's below average, or the slider's below average. The splitter is incredible. There's two different versions, but he's like, there are a lot of people that think he is a reliever. And I was like, whoa, like I didn't go back and look and see what everybody's reaction is. Now we're going to see Roki tomorrow, or, you know, maybe some version when you guys are listening to this, and maybe you'll have some answers out there. But I'm piecing it all to say that it's really not about Roki. This is to say that, like, the whole team was like, dude, Trinan is the guy that was devastating. So I'm coming back to say that I don't even think Kirby Yates is, like, a definitive that he would be a guy. They might go to Trinan. He might get some save opportunities out there. So that could hurt in the long run. But Tanner Scott looked absolutely phenomenal. Just one inning, one strikeout, 10 pitches. He just got to business, blew fastballs by. And that's the type of thing that's going to get you 30 saves with this type of team.
Otani had a couple hits as well. Like, there wasn't on the hitting offense,
side. Yeah, go on the hitting side.
He had a couple hits. I saw Amaya drove one in. There were a couple hits in there.
Well, on the Dodgers side, yeah. So, I mean, Otani still, like, so stupid from a betting perspective. It was like plus money for over 1.5 total bases. Like, of course, that was the play. He hit a double. He had 3 hard hit balls in the game. He was 2 for 5 with the double, no RBI or anything like that. Tommy Edman played second and hit second in replacement of Mookie Betts, because Mookie apparently lost 15 pounds from he had the thing I had, just, you know, probably couldn't afford to lose the weight. And then also, Boggs, last second, because I was up to like 1 a.m. my time ish, probably looking at my phone around 12. That is late for me, 12:30. And the game was like at 3-ish. I didn't hear about Freddie Freeman got scratched, and Freddie Freeman was scratched in this game. Enrique Hernandez came in. So the lineup changed out a little bit. Teoscar hit 3 without Freddie. Will Smith hit 4. Muncy hit 5. Teoscar had a hit. Tommy Edman ended up having a hit.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
But it just, even on the Dodgers side, it wasn't like robustly offensive. It was like that fifth inning where they got some stuff done. Lineup's a little mediocre without Mookie and Freddie Freeman in there when you take a look at it. Like, I know Teoscar and Edman got it done, but the bottom of the lineup is kind of eh. It's well, yeah, okay. But
I'll say this, like, you know, they did not get hits, right? How many hits did they have? Oh, I guess they had 7 hits. They also had 8 walks. That's a lot of traffic.
Well, when Ben Brown came in for Imanaga, he was getting whiffs, but he walked 5. Or I'm sorry, he walked 3. So between Imanaga and Brown, they walked 7 together.
His career high walks for Imanaga, they said too. So He's not walking a lot of guys. So no, that was kind of surprising.
The biggest surprise, really, because getting back to what we said, like, this is an exhibition. Like, we should take this as an exhibition. What is there to write home about? I would say, like, you could look like, wow, it's cool they put Tommy Edman at two if Mookie wasn't there. Like, that's kind of promising and where they would bat him and stuff. I was surprised at how devoid of offense the Cubs were, but it's like, I was optimistic about Kyle Tucker in this matchup. He just carried over the so far bad spring. Pete Crow Armstrong had a phenomenal spring, 0-3. Kyle Tucker 0-4, Seiya Suzuki 0-4. The only real thing that I really took away here was Matt Shaw hit in a really prominent spot. And I think that's like the focal point of what can you, because I'm not saying, when I say takeaway, like, I'm not negatively dinging Tucker or Pete Crow or whatever. Sure. It's whatever. It really any of these guys. But Matt Shaw hitting prominently at five in this lineup, right out the gates. Right out the chute, he's brought up. He's the rookie. He's there. They didn't move. I mean, he hit above Dansby Swanson. He hit above Pete Crow Armstrong, who was hitting almost 400. I thought that was really telling about the trust they have in Matt Shaw, and kind of reiterates A, like, the draft capital, but B, like, if you want to throw a little bit on a rookie of the year in the NL, Matt Shaw is not a bad bet.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, just to see him, like you said, hit five. Very, very positive. So, yeah, not a ton to take away from one game in the middle of March in a foreign country at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., wherever.
Yeah, when the guys are still into spring training and they flew overseas and it's been weird. And I don't know. They played some
exhibition. Not a ton to take away, but it was, you know, it was a regular season game and it counts. So we got to break it down. So interesting stuff. And yes, Edmund hit too, but that was with Mookie and Freeman not in the lineup. So, you know, we'll see if Freddie can play tonight as we're doing this, but
yeah, I would suspect, like, you know, what would they go? God, what is the lineup? Cause Mookie's usually a leadoff guy. They're going to hit Mookie three.
No, Otani's leading two? Off. Mookie would, or Freddie usually goes two and Mookie's three.
Yeah. So
and
I guess
it was, four.
So then that would probably put Will Smith at five. Then maybe Edmund could bat six if they have that trust.
Then Conforto and Ahas. Yeah.
That would probably be the look. So yeah, I think the top three takeaways is, I thought Yamamoto, I was encouraged by him. I was really encouraged by Matt Shaw and where his placement was. And I guess there was just a confirmation on the Tanner Scott side. Tanner Scott closing out that game and the trust was phenomenal. It's hard because we're not checking out. We're not here talking about the next game, which, you know, it's going to happen in like 11 hours from when we're recording this. But I guess it's all about Roki. I think clearly, like, A, does Freddie get back in the lineup? You know, what does that lineup look like? I'd also be curious, do they keep Matt Shaw like at five? But I think it all is going to come down to Roki pitches. What does the sequencing look like? Are guys going to just not, you know, are they going to just wait for a fastball in the zone and not swing at anything else? And, you know, is that, like, is he going to get demolished or is he going to absolutely slice and dice this Cubs team? Cause I don't know. The Cubs didn't look phenomenal. The bottom five of the lineup, every single player had at least one strikeout, the bottom five, and Happ and Suzuki striked out a combo with three times. So there might be some prime for Roki Sasaki. Do you have any little prediction for Sasaki? What you think it's going to look like?
I would say you're going to get some of Sasaki's best right here, playing at home in front of a Japanese crowd. I think he wants to really perform well. A lot of these Cubs haven't been hitting in spring, as you mentioned. So I think he's going to be pretty good. It doesn't mean he's going to have a whole amazing regular season, but I don't know, man. You know, I think maybe a little bit of this negative talk about Sasaki could be overblown.
But I agree with that.
We're going to find out, right? You can't hide in the bigs. So we're going to find out. And if it's bad tonight, we'll find out real quick, you know, but there will be adjustment periods. There will be adjusting back. You know, it probably is about a season and a half or two seasons before we really know.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least three times bigger than this.
What a pitcher is, a lot like, you know, 900 plate appearances for batters. Same deal, right? Can you adjust back? Can you, you know, really get hitters out at this level? So
I think July-ish, though, we'll have an idea of what Sasaki is this season.
This year,
oh, yeah, that, sure. That's what I think is important for a lot.
Let's get 10 starts. Yeah,
I don't know if there's going to be it'll be interesting what there is to pull, because, like, I would be surprised if he went over 65 pitches. I would expect like four innings or something like that. And if he's a little walky and guys are not, you know, they're not biting on that splitter, and maybe he's not throwing it for strike. Like, I just don't really know what to get out of it. But
if he does the Strider, you know, four innings, eight strikeouts or whatever, then,
very, very possible,
you know, then everyone, I mean, that cost is going to go up in any draft you have left.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you guys had it locked in for your rosters, but hopefully. And did you see also, I don't know if you saw this, but like Fantrax went down yesterday. It went down. It got back up in time, but everyone was like panicking. There was like, that was panic. There was a lot of panic about, like, for whatever. It was so weird too, because it's like, I'm not sure that was like a prime draft day, because, you know,
the first day, you know,
I guess. Yeah.
I think that's more about everybody going in to set their lineups at the same time.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it overloaded the server or something like that. So, all right. Let's talk about some of those spring things that are going on before we get to an interesting player for every single team from spring. You mentioned it. How about freaking Spencer Strider? I think that was, you know, that was probably the, what was that, Sunday or was that Monday?
I think that was Sunday.
Okay. Cause I want to pull up the Savant, because that was one thing we didn't do. We're kind of, you know how it goes sometimes. On leading off, especially the early one, Joey's like, let's keep this at 30. Like, I'm like, okay. So we couldn't get in, and some of these don't have some Savant. So I'm curious if they even have it. But while I'm taking a look at it, Spencer Strider absolutely dominated. I don't think it was, because Grant.
Maybe it was Saturday.
Let's see. Yeah, which stupid ass game was it? Let's see. Box score. It now was, I'm like dying.
Wasn't Saturday.
It wasn't Saturday?
Maybe. You know what? Atlanta was split squad, so maybe it was a second game. It wasn't the second game Saturday, because I was at that game against.
Oh, yeah, you were, I was about to say, did you
it
see
was not him? Strider? No, I saw Shaver, Smith Shaver. So
I think it was Sunday's game, but Sunday's game. Or did we just say that? We just said
they lost 2-6 to the Blue Jays. And no, that was Grant Holmes.
It now.
Friday. Was it Friday? Was it this month?
Was it Thursday? Really was this real life?
Is this real life?
What stupid ass day was it?
It must have been yesterday. It must have been Monday.
I don't know if it was. Well, okay. While we're looking up what stupid day it is, so I could pull up. You almost don't.
It was Monday. Really, it was yesterday.
Okay.
It 2-2/3, 6 strikeouts, no walks.
Yeah. And that was the big key right there. Well, I didn't even care about the box score, because I want
to. Hey, look, I'm jet lagged. At least I have an excuse. What's your excuse?
I have no excuse. I don't think they had Savant stuff here. Yeah. They don't even have Savant stuff for that game, unfortunately. But he came out blazing. I think they had said the velo was like, as far as where he sits, was like a tiny bit down. Secondary stuff looked good. He was absolutely dominant, and that is everything that you were looking for and that you wanted, and that's the key, and that's like, that's what I had been looking for, that's what I had been hoping, like if I was going to make any type of investment, because I had talked about him as like a poor man's Jacob deGrom, going, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, depending what type of league you're in, and then Spencer Strider's going past the 30s. Listen, he might have as many innings as him. And Strider's stuff looked great. And he's not coming off of Tommy John. I think it was the ulnar brace, right? Mm-hmm. That he had. And it was like 300 days. And he looks good. And he was throwing strikes and the stuff was there. Listen, I'm all aboard. Only thing I'm struggling with is, like, what level do I move guys like Alcantara and McClanahan and Strider up to? That's the struggle that I've been having, but I want to have some type of investment. And I frankly don't think Sandy with Strider is a risk. I'm not sure if either one of those guys with Strider is taking on too much risk. If you've put together, let's say, two other good pitchers, and then you take a Sandy or a Shane, and then the fourth or fifth is Strider. I think you can still do that. I think it's still absolutely in play, because, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It was Monday. And he looked great. Fastball, he's hitting his spots, command. That's everything that I wanted to see. And I think I'm very comfortable if I've got a rebuy back in Boggs.
So are we blowing this out of proportion? Because it was great. It was really good. But is this just because, hey, this is the first thing we saw and it was awesome? Or is this like, hey, it's spring training, it's his first start and he's blowing people away, this is amazing? Like, well, it's not going to add innings to, you know, what he does this year, right?
No, it's not that it's going to add. I think him being able to go where he did 2 2/3 gives a better clarity into like the timeline, because that was the biggest quote. Remember, there was the whole thing in the offseason was like, what's the timeline? Like, is he going to come back in May? Is it going to be mid-May? Is it going to be mid-April?
ATC has him at 112 innings. If I'm setting that as the line, are you over or under?
I think I'm over. I think there's the possibility, because what is the timeline right now? Wasn't it always like sometime, maybe it was late March? At this point, I think mid-April is on the table. I mean, yeah, I know he's got to work himself up. Like, how many starts are these guys really getting? Let's say four to five. I'll even give you five. You get maybe one more before the end of spring training, and then you know, maybe do a minor league thing or you do some backfield stuff. You could line up around like the 20th of April, somewhere in that vicinity, I think, is a possibility. And if you do that, yeah, there might be some babying situations, but is 140 off the table? I don't think 140 is off the table. That's the same number we're talking about DeGrom being like a Cy Young candidate with. Well, guess what? Strider's got similar stuff. So I know what you're saying by like, are we blowing it out of proportion? Blowing it out of proportion if we moved him back to previous values. But if he was SP 30, just for argument's sake, and we pushed him up to SP 20 or 26, if you do it right, he makes a lot of sense. And maybe they slow it down mid-year and he carries it back up at the end of the season. But like, I think there's just a lot of upside that you can get. But I don't think you should push him up to SP 15 because there still are questions and there was an injury. But for him to go how he did and how he looked, 23 of 27 pitches for strikes. Yeah, man, I think it's just a very positive thing that we needed. He didn't give up any hits. He didn't walk anybody. He was throwing strikes. Like, I think more is on the table than projections are being given. And I think that start was one of the reasons to tell us like, oh, this is better than what we were previously predicting.
Strider or Gallen?
It's funny you say that. I moved Strider above Gallen.
Okay.
And that's Strider. Tough because innings are not in favor of that.
Strider or Hunter Green?
I don't know.
31.
I don't know what I have. I think I might have Hunter Green just a little bit higher.
Yeah. So, you're not putting him ahead of Schwellenbach, right?
No, I think he's right in that range. I think he's in that range of.
So you
guys
would have him somewhere between 25 and 30-ish.
Literally about to say 25 and 30. And I think that's higher enough to get him. And obviously, unless somebody goes like ballistic. But, you know, I think like here's a little. No, let's see what this is real quick. This is Steve Phillips for whatever. Talking on SiriusXM about Strider's availability potentially for an opening day.
Vaughn Grissom with a slider in the first inning. And then Roman Anthony, the young stud prospect with a 98-mile-per-hour fastball for strike three. Then in the second, he struck out three different Red Sox hitters on three different pitches. Like, he didn't just come in thinking, let me just see how my fastball is going to eat. He came in, like, he came in throwing everything. You know, he's working his way back, and they're talking about mid to late April. Can he pitch opening day, please? Like, he's ready. He looked ready to me.
Oh, okay. So it's just like, just arbitrary. Like, that's fine. But the mid-ish April is what I'm talking about. Even if you were gone all of April.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
Dude, there's still like 140.
You know, here's my thing. I'm not particularly worried about when he comes in. It's the baby, you know, because these arm injuries are tough and you don't want him to have to do it again. So that my worry is that he looks great, but the babying continues, even if he does start earlier than we thought. So what does that give him? Maybe two extra starts. Those are huge, but I don't know if it's enough to move him too much higher. You know,
I think it
4 to 5 spots, fine, but I'm not, like you said, somebody's got him ranked at 14. That's way too high.
Oh, really? What is his, do you have the ranks up right now?
Yes, I do.
What is his like ADP or average rank right now?
His average rank, you want overall or just among?
No, at SPs.
Where'd it go? Strider. 36 right now.
But high of 14,
low of 52.
Yeah, and I had him in that general vicinity, and I moved him up into that 20 range because, like, I agree with that. I think, like, the mixing of pitches is great. What I think the babying could look like, and this is a problem. This is a problem for potentially some of the fantasy. If he has an iffy start, they might cap him at, like, 80 pitches through April, and then May, maybe he pushes up to 90 and stuff like that. Maybe they skip a start, and he gets a strikeout pitcher. And he throws a lot of strikes and he can have a lot of foul. Like, so I'm saying, like, he could go 4 and strike out 8 and not be available for a win. Or he could have a rough game where he walks 2 and he's striking out guys, and maybe getting to 5 makes it a little bit rougher. So that could tarnish a little bit of the fantasy value, but that's what baked in. I think that's what, like,
so
you're making some of that into the 25, 26 range of his talent. At 140 to 150 innings. It's being a bit optimistic, of course, but like, I'm willing to do that with him.
It's pretty split. There are some people that have him, you know, above 30 right now. And this is, you know, not everyone is updated after Monday. Obviously, we're recording this Tuesday, so it's not completely updated, but Del Don has him at 18. Arico has him at 22. We know he's already, like, not too big on the, you know, on pushing down the injured guys. Scott White has him at 23. Tim Kanak has him at 28. CK has him at 29. PZP has him right at 30. Everybody else is below 30. I'm still one of the lower rankers. Pianowski and I both have him at 39. Jesse Severe has him at 37. Kelly Kirby has him at 37. Zinke has him at 36. So, you know, it's kind of, how do you want to react to this?
Yeah, because it's risk management.
It is.
That's why, like, those same people that have DeGrom at 38, or I'm sorry, Strider at 38, probably have DeGrom in the 20s or 25. Yeah. And I get it. And you're littered with it. And I think that's kind of the problem. You're littered with this more than you've ever been before, because not only do you have DeGrom, not only do you have Strider, but in between that, you have McClanahan. You've got...
I have DeGrom at 11, but DeGrom, to be fair, started at the beginning of spring training.
Yeah, no, he looks like he's for a full workload. But I'm saying is, like, you're littered throughout the SP position with these high upside guys with different varying degrees of, like, types of injuries or potential limitations that, like, you can't... I just don't think you can go and take DeGrom and Strider and McClanahan, even though there's so much upside. That's too risky. But what I'm getting at is, like, where I was like, hey, give me a McClanahan or Alcantara for the upside of SP4. Now I'm like, throw Strider into that big time. I was not super interested in Strider without any news. This changes my tune a lot. And that's what gets me optimistic. A lot on Strider there, but, you know, it's worth it. And I'm moving him up my boards, and I think he's in that mid 20 range. And guess what? If that gets him for you and he's your SP, you'd love him to be an SP4, but that's, you know, that is tough. That's what the old cost was. So now he's closer to SP3. I still think you can do it. I still think there's some really good arms after him, and I think the upside is making more sense. Some other injury stuff. Boy, Royce Lewis, you guys all know, strained hamstring right out of the box. It's already happening. All the jokes aside, I moved him down. I've been moving him down, and, you know, I had him at one time above. I had him above Alex Bregman. I had him, which was needed to be changed, but I also had, like, him above Jake Berger. He's below them now. And I also put him below Matt Chapman. I'm just not as interested in it. The average is still a question. The power, the offensive impact, we know what that is, but the injuries are just so in our face and they're already happening. And I don't need to tell you, like, a guy that's already injured going into draft. We've got a couple drafts that are still happening. He's just not my interest. And frankly, I was telling Pizapia, I haven't drafted him once, I think, this entire season in anything. In Fantasy Pros mocks, our mocks, real drafts, I don't think I've ever drafted Royce Lewis, and now I'm definitely not.
so talented, but zero shares. Like, again, you know, maybe this will be the next shirt. I like guys that play, and he just doesn't. So I am, you know, it was funny. Will Hall sent me his, he's like, hey, how does this team look? I was like, Royce Lewis already on the IL, LOL.
He texted me that. He's like, I just need 50 games out of Royce. And it's like, I like this build, but Royce, I don't know. I was telling the story to.
You shouldn't be drafting any hitter for only 50 games, by the way.
No. Not even rookies, you know, pass on rookies if they only get 50. Who was I telling? Oh, I was having this conversation. It was actually with Jake Seeley and D-Bro after a football show. And I was telling them, we were talking about prospects and interviews. And we were talking about football and interviews. And he was telling his Joe Montana story. And I told them the Royce Lewis story where I was like, yeah, I've had some bad interviews. And because we were talking about like batter interview. And I was like, I interviewed Royce and I started off being like, how about that shitty season? You know, like I didn't say it quite like that, but that's essentially. And Royce was like thrown back and it was, and I felt so bad. I apologized to him 3 weeks later in the AFL. But then Jake was, he was like, you should hit him back up and see what's up with the injuries. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that.
How about that shitty hamstring? How about that? Is that going to work at all this year or what?
What's the deal?
He's like, God, here comes the mean interview guy.
I know, stupid mean interview guy. also on the big injury front, I'll plow through some smaller news things, but Gunnar Henderson took batting practice on Tuesday, hopeful for opening day. I wouldn't let him slip too far, but hey, if he's a wheel pick, you jump right on it. I do think it's a little bit more interesting of like if Gunner's there and then like Corbin is there.
I was just about to ask you that. I think yeah. I'm thinking Corbin. The hot spring too looks so good. I'm a homer.
The Gunner thing might not mean anything at the end of the day, though. That's like we might look back and it's just like, remember when people fade? And not that he's going to really fade, but I don't know. Take the discount. I guess all I'll just say is take the discount if you're at like 11 and he's there. Absolutely.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Can't believe what fell. All your dreams just pops down the drain. Let's play some
in this league.
There are a couple signings that actually happened right before we started the show. Some interesting ones. Craig Kimbrell signed with the Braves, finishing out with the Braves. I don't know what that's going to look like outside of just probably not saved.
Yeah, I don't know. One day contract to retire.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's like the Mike Moustakas thing where he's going to sign one day. This is a real contract, but this is one's even better for you. Patrick Corbin signed with the Texas Rangers.
Why better for me?
You love Pat. It's your guy, Patrick Corbin.
What are you talking about? I liked him 1 year. That's
it. Well, you can like him again. He's a Texas Ranger.
Where did Billy Burns sign, Welsh? What car dealership?
Didn't we ever look? Is he like an insurance salesman?
So.
No, I think he's like an insurance sale. We found like a pick, okay. You know, like there's some, you can do that sometimes baseball. That's like, they sell State Farm or something.
Let's
like
keep
that.
Keep talking about this.
Yeah. Someone will find it for us. Someone find Billy Burns, what he's doing right now. And we will talk about it on the next show. 100%. But Patrick Corbin signed with the Texas Rangers because John Gray has a fracture in his hand. John Gray was one of your guys, dude. John Gray was one of the boys and he is out.
Yeah. That sucks so bad because, you know, with the wrist too, you just never know how long is this going to take. There's a lot of small bones. How long is this going to take to heal? Is everything going to be 100% when he does come back? So again, any pitcher going in, I'm less concerned about a wrist than I am an elbow or a shoulder. Of course, you know, this isn't, but it's not a hamstring. So I don't know, man. Probably just off the radar now.
I didn't have high hopes anyways, but what it does look like is it's going to set up Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker to be able to start. I can't imagine Corbin's not going to come in. Patrick Corbin's not going to come in and like take a rotation spot. They're going to have to build him up. Maybe he's been throwing. He's
gonna like,
barely have a
stash
training.
Him in the minors. If somebody else goes down, he can be an innings eater. If
I'll be honest with you, he's probably like, he probably got to camp today. There's what less. I mean, I don't even know. I think these guys leave and fly out like Sunday or I mean, they're going to fly back out. He probably stays here in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And works with the minor leaguers that are going to be here. gets a couple starts in, and then they reevaluate. I mean, they did this with Johnny Cueto last year. He might just hang around the complex. They work him up and see what happens. But I don't think it's any threat. Jack Leiter and Kumar Rock are both potential guys to look at because they now look like they have some potential to stay in the rotation, which is possible. Yeah. All right, some other news out there. Goldie is dealing with a sore back. Not super great. Not sure if it's going to... I think they said they just wanted to rest him a couple of days. Not sure if it's going to impact opening day, but
I don't love that starting.
Yeah, exactly. Back,
so don't
my back that. Hurts all the time. So like I don't, it, and it never not hurts. So
don't
and,
love an old guy with a sore back.
And what better to compare a world-class yeah. athlete with the Yankees than for a overweight podcaster. So that's what I've always said. Tobias Myers is going to start on the IL with an oblique strain with the Brewers. Not what they need, but they did sign Jose Quintana. We'll see.
These oblique injuries are not go through the obliques.
I know you go.
It's oblique street here.
I know we need a oblique Tommy John. That's like the next thing. What it might lead to is Logan Henderson getting some starts. I'm going to tell you guys right now, Logan Henderson's a dude. I don't think he's a pickup. I don't think he's necessarily a draft. I think he's dude-ish. I think he's stream. Let's see what he looks like when he gets out there. But he is a big pumping fastball. That dude throws strikes. He gets pinpoint corner strikes. I talked to him last year. He came out here and did a rehab start in at Camelback Ranch. I got to talk to him for a bit. Great dude, smart pitcher, hits pinpoint stuff, and he's got a big fastball. So he would be someone I would look at for streaming. Max Scherzer, thumb soreness.
Thumb That's stuff.
Different. I think Shout he said he couldn't.
Vespris.
Yeah, he couldn't feel because he's got thumb stuff, right?
Yeah, that, I mean, again, older pitcher with an injury going in, pass.
Yeah, also agree on the pass. Very maybe promising news. Grayson Rodriguez had a cortisone shot in his elbow. He's going to play catch on Tuesday. He is tanked. I actually took him in TGFBI because he fell to like 280. And I went like early pitching and then I kind of came off of it for a long time and I had to piecemeal some stuff. So I took a shot at it. I don't know how this is going to go. Cortisone shot in the elbow is going to play catch.
I don't like that.
How many times have you heard this? And then it's like he plays catch on Tuesday and Thursday. He's been suggested to have Tommy John.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I think until we hear, hey, he's ramping up, I'm out on Grayson too. Pass.
Yeah. Jung-Hoo Lee having an MRI. Do we get any word? He had his MRI and his sore back on Monday. We're
clean.
Recording this on Tuesday.
No structural damage. So we like that for the grandson of the win. But I don't like, you know.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.